Ring.
Okay, it is 6 p.m. on August 21st, and I call this meeting of the National Airport Authority to order. Roll call, please.
Chairman Woods.
Here.
Vice Chairman Law.
Here.
Secretary Scheifel.
Here.
Director Duquette.
Here.
And Treasurer Heath is absent this evening.
Okay, do we have any public input to start? Yes, sir. Yes, and please state your name for the record.
My name is Thomas Borax. I have a condo in South Nashville and live in Florida as well. And I rise concerning the recent vandalism theft on the National Airport. And first I want to point out that it was on about April 15th, 2018, that there was a similar break-in on the Manchester Airport, wherein a thief hammered off the doorknob of a small entry door to a hangar and gained access to an aircraft that was inside, and stole two Garmin 430 radios from that aircraft's radio rack. The point here is that hangar aircraft are not immune to theft. And it's not just the ones that are tied down. And secondly, I've been doing some thinking about theft deterrence on the airport, as I know other people have as well. But Xfinity Comcast indoor Wi-Fi hotspots are installed at businesses along the perimeter road that parallels National Airport and up to the back gate during the entrance onto what we call the holding property, the back ramp, okay, of the airport. And I recently found out that there's one outdoor Wi-Fi hotspot on the college campus that was installed for public use by Xfinity Comcast. Now, I'm familiar with outdoor Wi-Fi hotspots. There's one on a utility pole wire located within about 500 feet of the condominium that I own in South Nashville. I'm able to watch TV on my small smartphone by way of that outdoor Wi-Fi hotspot, given its bits per second capacity. Ring doorbell units will also work with outdoor Wi-Fi hotspots. Point here is that such outdoor Wi-Fi hotspots were on the Xfinity Comcast wire that runs along Perimeter Road by the airport. Ring units could be used inside of tied-down aircraft and mounted on the upper half of flagpole hangar doors. That way, aircraft owners could be alerted if thieves come onto the Nashua Airport. Now, those Ring units, I wanted to also mention, have video capacity and infrared so that it could be used at night. And I gather from the advertisements that I see on TV that they call when they're set off by motion detectors, they call the owner's smartphone and see who's trying to break into your airplane if there's somebody. And you also find out it's just a bird that may have set it off. So anyhow, have such an installation to be a matter of the airport authority talking to Xfinity Comcast. And they have business plans. And, but initially, I would hope that there would be an effort to try to get Xfinity Comcast to install the free outdoor Wi-Fi hotspot in the National Airport, just like they have in numerous cities around the country. Now, the reason they do that is they also establish subscriptions for smartphones. You use Cindy Comcast Wi-Fi system on your cell phone, and if that doesn't work, then they, to my understanding, leave from companies like Verizon, where you use the Verizon connection as an alternative to your Wi-Fi connection. It's cheaper, although personally I use both. So, nevertheless, so if Comcast, if Cindy Comcast were to refuse a request for installation of free outdoor Wi-Fi hotspots, how the National Airport business arrangement could be established between the National Airport Authority and Xfinity Comcast, wherein a subscription fee of approximately $100 per outdoor hotspot could be paid on a monthly basis for such service. The fee could be passed along to aircraft owners on the field by way of a very minor increase in monthly tie down and hang fees. So, I think at this point, most aircraft owners in the field are conscious of security and concerned about the recent occurrence, and I think they'd be willing to, you know, pay a little bit more. So, it's my hope that the Airport Authority will pursue a relationship with Xfinity Comcast. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any other public input? Okay, so minutes, approval of the NAA public minutes of July 17, 2019.
I make a motion that the minutes of the public minutes of July 17, 2019 be approved.
Second.
Okay, discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, motion carries. Treasury report, approval of the July 2019 financial statements subject to audit. Anyone here to make a motion?
I'll make a motion for the approval of the July 2019 financials pending audit.
I'll second that. Okay, Brian seconds that. Discussion?
Oh, I have a question.
Go ahead.
I believe David sent a message that he was going to stop by and discuss some issues.
Okay, any further discussion? Brian, you have a bunch of stuff highlighted.
Yeah, this is for my own questions. We're 1 month in, so it's pretty difficult to to use 1 month. I was just, and with David not here, it's right, as an example, fuel flow happens to be down. But I didn't know. I meant to ask ahead of time if this 5833 is a flat number, but the revenue actually goes like this. But I will save that for future discussion. That's fine.
Okay. So, any more discussion on Treasury's report? Okay. All those who approve of the July 2019 financial statements subject to audit. Aye.
Aye.
Okay, proposed? Communications.
We have two communications, one of which is from the Department of Transportation of New Hampshire in response to inspection report, which I believe, Chris, are you going to talk about?
Well, it's an annual report they do. It's called an inspection called a 5010 inspection, where they come out and they basically check the condition of the entire airport, the runways, taxiways, and the approach surfaces, the lighting equipment, etc. And to make this a long story short, in the first paragraph, last sentence, or first section, overall the airport is in excellent condition. And since this 5010 inspection, we finished the runway project the other day, so any of the comments to do with the runway in here have been addressed.
The second communication is a request from the Tanposi Company for approval for the sale of Building Number 6 which is on the non-air side of the airport. They are selling the building to the current occupant of the building. This is the exercise company. What do they call this?
CrossFit.
Building 106, I believe, is CrossFit. Is it not, Chris?
Yes. Well, this is saying that they've CC'd the new buyer's lawyer and he's going to draft up the consent.
Okay. Yeah, he's just seeking consent to assign lease.
Shortly after I was appointed to the board and eventually was the acting airport manager for a few months, there were some issues with this facility and specifically violating specific rules on the airport with respect to the parking of vehicles, etc. I've discussed it with the manager, Chris. He is aware of it, but it was an ongoing issue. Even though they agreed to correct the problems, we had to constantly stay on their backs. And these are the folks that are buying the building, so it may necessitate just looking over the shoulder a little bit to make sure that they comply with the current rules.
Thank you, Professor. Chair, buyer is. Oh, I'm sorry, Wes, go ahead.
I can confirm that as of last Sunday, they were holding an event. They were parking cars up and down the street and into the parking lots at the airport, and then across the street into the area of the dirt on the fence.
Oh, where the old fuel farm was?
Yes.
And on some occasions, when I was involved, they were actually closely dangerous of blocking the actual road, especially if an oversized vehicle came through. They were blocking up the sides of the road.
Well, last fall, when I went through here at one of their events, they did have vehicles parked up on the current fuel farm. And they were effectively blocking access to it. Chris, what's your take?
Well, I met with the gentleman that owns CrossFit and a couple of his employees about 2 weeks ago, and they were requesting permission for an event that they wanted to hold in the end of September, and there's conflict with that date with our warbirds that are coming to town. And so I told them they could not hold the event on that day because we know that there'll be too much traffic as it is, and that it would create a problem. And at the same time, I addressed what went on last year and the fact that when they had that event, they parked all over the airport. They plugged up the parking lot for the midfield. Sandy had told me that she lost about $3,000 in business that day because her customers had nowhere to park. They were parked all around the fuel farm, and so I let them know that, you know, that's not to happen in the future. In terms of they run these races up and down the road. Well, it's a public thoroughfare. You can't block the road, but running up and down the road, having exercise equipment out there, and this is all addressed. They also had exercise equipment up near the fuel farm during that event last year, and I explained to them that, you know, that is not your property. You can't be putting exercise equipment up on other property that you're not leasing. So we laid it out, and we talked about their event, and they're looking to reschedule their event to a different date.
If I may?
Yes, please.
Going back again to my previous comment, in my discussions with the gentleman, he asked for recommended solutions, and I told him that there was a space there where he could lease parking space, which they eventually did. And they rented the additional parking spaces for approximately, it was under 6 months, and then they canceled the lease. And during that 6 months, they were constantly parking just about any place they wanted to park, creating the nuisances that are discussed here. there needs to be reinforcement of what the rules are and consideration of possible penalties if they are interfering with the airport. That the Midfield Cafe, their comments there, I've heard that many, many times out there about the fact that they are exceeding their rented space for parking and creating nuisance for others on the airport.
Is that a separate issue from this item that they're seeking action on? I mean, it sounds all good and worthy of further discussion or documentation, but
yeah,
I think it's probably two different things.
Yeah, the transfer of the building itself is a separate transaction. But, the CrossFit folks really do need to behave better, and, you know, there do need to be some penalties. Did you discuss that with them, Chris?
Well, I discussed that, you know, the parking around the fuel farm is prohibited. And I talked to Matt Ferriby, the maintenance supervisor. We're going to get signs up to say that.
Okay.
And I told him if there's anything parked around the fuel farm, it will be towed. Last year, as you recall, you drove out there. There was a car with its front wheel right up against the emergency shutoff handle for the fuel farm. And I explained that to him, and so that's why I told them anything up there will be towed in the future.
And I think you mentioned that there were even people kind of, you know, literally lounging in front of the in front of Gate 12.
The main entrance to Gate 12, I was actually pulling out, and after you had called me and I came down, I was pulling out, and they were in lounge chairs in the middle of the entrance. And I explained to them that you're in the middle of a driveway, and I got a little bit of a flip answer. And that's when I explained that I was the airport manager and they had moved. At the same time, I explained to them where you're sitting. If a car comes in Perimeter Road, they're not going to see you when they come around the corner into that entrance. And it's not a very smart place to sit. So they did tend to camp out all over that Perimeter Road area.
During my conversation with the owner of CrossFit, that building was being considered for purchase by him at that time. In fact, he told me many times, you know, I'm in the process of buying this building. And then after I had complained to him a number of times, along with others, he communicated to me that he was fed up with all of our Mickey Mouse problems and that he wasn't going to buy it. So we're back there again.
Is it something we need maybe take off on the council and just get an idea if this is short of what you're planning? Short of just a blanket?
Sure,
go ahead.
Well, I have a question. Does the lease address parking? A lot of leases will address what parking goes with.
I would have to read that lease for that property.
I'm sure it lasts, but we would have to go back and redo that, as Chris said.
And what legal obligation or interest or right do we have to know who the buyer is and to confirm if they're qualified, I guess, for lack of a better term, to assume this lease?
We have to approve the sale because it's on leased airport property.
So, but
they have to divulge
the request. Is not the same? Or are you saying there's a separate approval that comes?
I'm reading this as they've simply told us that this is what they're doing, and they're going to draft up the consent letter. I believe at that point we'll have to approve
it. So this is simply just communication as a note.
I believe so.
It's not something for us to take action on.
I don't see anything in here that we have to take action on tonight.
I think this gives us time to work with the police department on parking infringements and using the police department to ticket and things along those lines when public safety is at risk.
Roger, you've been patiently waiting.
My understanding that Perimeter Road now is a city maintained road. And we get the city to push the fuel farm side all the way down, no parking on the street, vehicles will be towed. Get the city to do it. Question.
I will be speaking with Andy Patrician from the city and John Ibarra from Streets Department about the signs. That's where we get our signs from when we do get them.
Okay. Okay. Is that all for communication?
Okay. If you don't mind,
Chris, I apologize for not getting over there and asking you this question ahead of time. But I, being somewhat new, I see that they reference trees, and I know on our properties come and cut trees. Are they indicating these trees need to be cut, or are they just
They're
saying...
They're indicating that these trees are what will be reported on the approach plates, the charts, et cetera.
Okay. Informational.
Correct. Not saying that some of those shouldn't be cut in the near future.
And I commend you for you know, having an overall rating of being excellent condition. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so moving on to reports. First up is the tower report. And for July of 2019, we have 8,609 operations. The year-over-year variance for July of 2018 is up 1,975 operations. That's a 30% increase. So that's pretty impressive. And Chris, when we spoke to Brian Bean this morning, he said that you know, they had a lot of ops on Sunday, I believe it was.
Yeah, Brian, I actually met with Rich O'Loughlin from Southern Hampshire University, Jake Woodford, and Brian Bean the other day, and we were talking about the traffic counts, the increases. And my question to Brian was, you know, would you attribute this to the presence of SNHU? And his answer was, well, we haven't seen numbers like this since Daniel Webster College was here. So, yes. Without sitting out there and writing down each individual tail number all day long, he goes, I couldn't tell you for sure, but it's a good indication. And then I went and I met, like I said, with Rich O'Loughlin, and I asked them how many students they had start last month. They were forecasting 40. They actually had 46 students start.
Well, I mean, just year over year, 16, 17, and 18, you were 6,100, 6,100, 6,600. And then we jumped to 8,600 this year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's at least a three-year rough comparison.
Who's Brian?
He's the tower
chief. Brian Bain is the tower chief. Wes.
Reinforce that. Folks that are direct have signed in the nets, asking everyone to be patient because of the influx of new students and how it makes scheduling more difficult, and they have some words describing that priority.
Oh, in terms of fuel delivery?
No, in terms of renting and getting time for the CFO.
Oh, okay.
So, they're saying they're really good.
Mm-hmm. Busy is good. Airport manager.
Excuse me. Okay, well, recent events we'll chat about. We finally received our new SRE snow removal equipment, which is a Caterpillar 160 M3 grader. It's everything we thought it would be and more. Director Woods got to operate it a little bit. Chairman Wood, sorry. So that came in. There were a couple issues on it. Nick has addressed these issues. It was missing the carbide edges on two of the blades. So those have been ordered from Henke, I believe. Other things, recent events. Runway groove and seal project. Yes, folks, it's finally complete. We actually closed the runways, everybody in here knows, last week. Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. local to 6 p.m. local daily. We were able to open the runway at that time each evening, and we finished the project and opened the runway at about 6:07 Friday night, and everybody came back from Manchester and wherever else they were based. Overall, the runway looks excellent. It looks better than it did last year. We ended up, as everybody knows, we had a paint failure due to a sealant issue. What we did is we removed all of the paint, we removed all of the sealant beneath the paint, and then the paint beneath that on most of the striping on the runway. So now we have paint right down onto the bare pavement, and looks like it's going to work out very well. So, does anybody have any questions about the groove and seal project? Wes?
I'll compliment the guys who did it. I was ready to go exactly 6 weeks on a day of the week, and they were open, and I could actually go.
I commend you for picking last week instead of this week.
Crystal ball worked out well.
Boy, do we get lucky, Nick, huh? Okay. On August 6th, Terra Fugia had a successful test flight. Congratulations to Phil Mateer, the test pilot, and his entire team. It was quite the event. They had the people from their parent company, Gili, were here. The CEO of Gili was here. And it was a complete success. And hope to see a lot more development in the future with Terra Fugia. let's talk about one other thing. There was another group of people that have come to the airfield with a model for testing, and it's called Transcend is the name of their company. They had a scaled version of this flight vehicle on a boom on the front of a vehicle, and they were driving it up and down the runway and the taxiways for aerodynamic testing. So you'll see a little bit more of them in the coming months, just running up and down doing some light testing. There is a possibility, I've been speaking with them, that they actually come and set up business at Nashua. They had planned on moving out to Mojave and going to scaled composites, but they are very comfortable at Nashua, and seeing that all their technology is based in the Northeast, they were discussing staying at Nashua. So hopefully we can make that happen with Transcend. Other item here. So on July 27th, it was discovered that several aircraft that were parked on the Hotel in India ramps had been burglarized. Avionics were stolen. Airplanes were damaged. I received a call Saturday morning. As everybody knows, I sent an e-blast out to everybody, I believe, in here. Received that. Received the call Saturday morning that there was an aircraft tampered with. And then as the person looked around, realized that there were other aircraft in his immediate proximity that had been tampered with. So they called the police, and that's when the investigation started. I went down, and Farrell was about to have a nice flight in his plane, and I grabbed Farrell, and he spent the morning with me as we investigated every plane out on the entire ramp, and we found 9 aircraft had actually been entered. So the police started investigating. We gave them all the information we could. They continue to investigate. There's a detective in charge. His name's Detective Frank Lombardi. If anybody ever has any information that they want to pass along, I can pass it along, or I can give you Frank Lombardi's contact information. But he is the detective in charge. I had about an hour-long discussion with him at lunch today, and I asked him, are we making any progress? Well, they haven't found any what we're calling aha moments. There was pieces of video that showed little bits of information. They're still trying to put everything together. So nothing conclusive right now, but they continue to work on it. The case is not closed. Several tenants have been asking why they can't get a police report. They've been having trouble with their insurance companies. They said they need a police report. Well, because the investigation is still active and open, they do not issue a report at that point. So if anybody hears of any people having a problem with the insurance companies, please call them. We'll put them in touch with the detective. And he said he would contact the insurance companies as well to help the tenants. As part of that, well, I guess I'll get back to that in a minute. I'm sorry. Upcoming events, as we've already discussed in previous meetings, September 14th, Wheels and Wings. That's right around the corner. September 27th, 28th, 29th, Collings Foundation Wings of Freedom Tour. That's going to be a really big event, and we're really looking forward to that, having the 5 warbirds here all at the same time. Other items of interest. As we discussed, reconstruct the airfield pavement maintenance phase 2. We were not granted federal funding. We're going to continue to pursue that. Another interesting item here is gate 13 call box. People have been calling me, say it's not working. I am aware we have actually ordered a new call box. The call box has failed.
They no longer make that, so they're building a new one for us, and it takes a couple of weeks. So that thing will be replaced shortly. And as previously reported, the heating and cooling tower that services the air traffic control tower at 79 perimeter has failed. The heating portion has failed. They still have some AC, so they're okay for now. After reviewing various bids, I decided to choose Joyce Heating and Cooling, and they have tentatively scheduled to work now to be started on October 7th. It'll take approximately 2 days to do the job. We chose October 7th for the temperatures so that they can hopefully withstand the daytime and the nighttime. We'll provide the tower with supplemental heat for the evening and go from there. Back to the subject of the burglaries out on the ramp. I've been in contact with the detective when it first happened almost every day for about a week and a half. We talked almost every day. They are very interested in solving this. They've talked to other police departments all up and down the East Coast of the United States with similar episodes. So in dealing with this, I know that Tom had made a presentation during public input about security. I have met with two different security companies in the last week, and we are discussing security options. I'm not going to discuss the specifics of it in public session, but I just want everybody to know that we are working on enhancing the security at the airport. We will enhance the security at the airport. I take this personally, like everybody else in the room does. I'm not just the manager. I have an airplane. I have a hangar. I have two airplanes and a hangar. And I take it very personally that somebody robbed our airport. So we're going to continue to work on that. Wes?
He has a surveillance system. And my understanding is that they were able to get a grant from the TSA to stop. The FAA does not cover that. The TSA does.
Okay.
And so probably if you spoke to the folks at Key, you might have more information.
Thank you. I will do that. So that's what I can tell you about that. And if anybody else, like Tom, had a suggestion, we're open to any suggestions. Wes, Tom, anybody that has anything, we're information gathering right now to make the best decisions.
I have a suggestion. Obviously, you can put 24-hour guards there if you want to. It would cost a certain consideration. But one of the things that I find too convenient is that people can go in and out of any gate, and you may want to read the cards, but when you're leaving, there's no carding because they're activated by motion. So I would suggest consideration being given that after a certain hour of the day, say darkness, you must enter and leave the airport by the same gate, and that gate would be under observation or require a card to account for who comes in and goes out of the airport.
Just to expand on that point real quick, has there been any further discussion on whether the perpetrators flew into the airport?
Well, I can tell you, yes. They don't know yet.
Right, okay.
I can tell you that I gathered all the TRACON information, all the radar information. We also joined up with Dave Pasco from liveatc.net, and we provided all the information from all the flights from Thursday and Friday evening to Nashville PD, and they have investigated every one of those aircraft that was on there with the exception of one aircraft that took off and went west, and we have no idea. But all of the other aircraft were accounted for, and everything in there, there are people at the FAA that looked at this before they gave us the report, and they actually, this gentleman's job is to look at these things on a regular basis to look for suspicious activities. And he said he found nothing that looked suspicious, and I was able to go through every tail number, and there were a lot of known entities, and we were able to, discount all of them.
Check it.
Can I make a point also?
Yes.
In the gate, where in front of the direct air, that gate doesn't have a lock on it. A motorcycle would fit through that gate. The motorcycle with the dress around the back, with the area and I wonder if that's a possibility with somebody motorcycle being accessed.
You talk to the one base of the midfield, Air Direct?
Yeah. We go in the door there.
And there's a similar problem with the other passage gate on the other end of that by the Mac Air hangar. It's a simple, I believe they're 4 feet tall, the gate.
I would like to relay a comment from from Director Heath regarding the security issue as well. And he says it as follows. He says, I know there have been some offline discussions about solutions to beef up security. With cost as a consideration, I feel we need to design and implement the most effective measures to protect these assets of our tenants. I'm sure the Gale Associates has experience with this and should certainly weigh in on this. I would like to see a timeline of how and when this could be accomplished. Those are Dave's comments on that.
A couple more things. The other day when we finished the project, the painting project on the runway, the groove and seal, we had developed a lot of cracks in the golf taxiway that was just recently paved. So as part of that, covered under that project, we were able to route those cracks and seal them to prevent further damage to the asphalt. And I was a little afraid that it was going to come out looking terrible, and it actually came out looking just fine. You can barely even see them. We have an event this weekend that I was briefed on yesterday. An organization called COPA, which is the Cirrus Pilots Owners Pilot Group. They will be beginning to arrive Friday, and they'll be here for the weekend for a training seminar. Infinity will be handling most of the aircraft. They will be handling aircraft on their ramp, and I've made arrangements with SNHU and Air Direct to move their aircraft to the south side of Charlie Taxiway to where we park the transients. And we're now going to park the rest of the Cirrus aircraft, which could be approximately 51 aircraft, on the tower ramp for the weekend.
You mean the north side of Charlie?
What did I say? Sorry, I meant, yep, you are correct. I meant the north side. Yeah, currently they're on the south, so we'll move them to the north. Thank you. And that's about it. Does anybody have any questions?
The $16,800 for the air conditioner, what account is that going to go out of?
I will have to look at that. We discussed this with Director Heath last month, and I will get back to you on that.
Okay. Airport engineer, please.
Okay. Nick Ippolito for the recording from Gale Associates. Gale Associates is currently administering three projects for the authority, the first being the Groove and Seal project. Items in blue have been updated since last month. So the whole position marking on the runway 32 is going to be located to match the other taxiway leading to the runway. The completion of that work completes all change order as well as contract work and any corrective actions that remain to be completed. So with the board's approval, be able to notify the contractor that the project is substantially complete, thus starting a one-year contract is guaranteed. In the meantime, we'll be preparing final reimbursement documents and closeout documentation for the airport signature in the next week or two. Is the board all right with me issuing a notice of substantial completion for the project?
That's something I think we could take a little vote on. Or actually, let me first ask Chris, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm
good with that. Okay. So, Well, I'll make a motion then that, you know, the motion is, you know, does the board, will the board vote to allow Gail to go ahead with the closeout paperwork, noting that the Reuben Seal project is substantially complete? I'll put that motion forward.
Second.
Discussion? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, so motion carries, so please go ahead and do that.
Excellent. And to round out the project, we will be scheduling a final inspection with the contractor, the DOT, FAA, the airport, as well as Gale. And I will report back to you as soon as I have a date on that.
I have a question.
Yes.
The warranty clock starts when you issue the completion, correct?
The date on the substantial completion letter would be the start of the warranty period, and I anticipate that would be Friday. Both things,
and the warranty is for 1 year.
Any other questions on the Reuben Seal project? The second project is the snow removal equipment project. The grader has been delivered to the airport finally. Gail will be processing final reimbursement and closeout documentation in the next few weeks. The only remaining punch list item is, again, the delivery of the carbide tip blade for the plow. Upon delivery of the blade, the project will be complete and maybe closed out. We have requested a final invoice from the vendor, basically the day after I did the inspection on the grader. We still have not received it, so that's really the only holdup. We closed out at this point. We need that invoice to request final reimbursement. So I will follow up with Mr. Pat and get that, and then we can send out the reimbursement request to hold that for us. Any questions on this, sorry? Of the paving reconstruction and maintenance. Heading into this month's meeting, we wanted to have concrete answers. I know last month there was some uncertainty on whether or not design fees would be owed back to FAA. So as reported last month, the project was not issued a grant due to lack of discretionary funds. So last month's meeting, Gail reported that any DOT has offered a design-only grant option to fund Gail's design efforts. This option would require acceptance of a grant to fund construction for 2 years of the completion date of the design-only grant. So to update the board, Gail has confirmed with FAA that the requirement to accept a construction grant is contingent upon a grant offer being made. Additionally, if no grant is offered, the airport will not be required to repay design fees that were paid out during the design-only grant. The only caveat is that any future design work that may become necessary due to changing regulations or changing operational conditions at the airport would not be eligible for reimbursement. So basically, the project is designed, the permits are in hand. No grant is issued within 2 years. For some reason, there needs to be a redesign. That redesign would not be helpful. But I don't foresee that happening, mostly because the permits that we have only state that the project is exempt from any permitting efforts. So the Conservation Commission is on board, DOT is on board, and I don't foresee any reason why we would have to be redesigned. So the actions requested this month are to consider revising grant application to this project to design home.
I got a question for you. Just so the change in regulations in the future and all that, notwithstanding, whenever in the future that, let's say, the completed designs is on the shelf, is there any cost to kind of recycle it, bring it back out, make sure there's no... Who makes the judgment on whether or not that old design is still valid X amount of time in the future?
That would be contingent upon the FAA regulations. Say a design change where the advisory circulars say that the tie-down spacing changes. I know we have some replacement in kind for stuff around infinity. If the spacing changed, then we have to go back and change the bid documents to reflect that change. That would not be helpful. But with the new design and see that it's released in late 2018, I believe, they have made whatever changes they've been made. There was a revision to the spacing that was done while we were in design and we accounted for it. So I can't understand the reason other than the contractor's bid.
I'm sure the bids will all be, I mean, realistically, I'm kind of slipping around the table, what would we consider a reasonable amount of time to do just the design and put it on the shelf and then reasonably expect we would then, would just be next year that we would want to actually, you know, put that design into getting a bid for actually doing a work shelf.
And
we're not looking for shelving it for perpetuity's
so
sake.
Let's just say that Continental bid expires this year without having being issued a notice of award. Cost of rebidding the project would be something that I could foresee happening, but I believe since it's fraud and purpose, FAA's lack of funding or issuing the grant that would cause the need for a rebid, I believe that would be helpful. But I can check with you.
Would you be able to maybe see if you can seek out an extension on the bid in terms of how long they're willing to keep that price?
We can also do that.
Maybe they can hold it for another.
The bid document calls for, I believe, 150 days. So if 150 days comes into fruition, I'm assuming it would all be a function of the market at the time and whether or not those prices are still viable for the work.
Generally, they have some level of escalation expectation, you know, 3% a year or whatever, something.
Yes. I will say that the past 2 years, construction costs have skyrocketed almost 40%. I'm hoping for a market correction in the near future, but we'll see what happens.
That was generally due to, you know, the price of pavement?
I believe it's more closely related to labor.
Demand.
Okay.
Demand. Yeah, straight up demand, yeah.
Okay.
If we don't agree to talk to the university of Minnesota in the next 2 years, we don't have to repay it. But if we get the grant the third year, do you have to do the design only for it again? And is that covered?
No.
You have to do it again.
The design is sort of in perpetuity, right? So, again, notwithstanding any changes.
I think the 2 year caveat is more along the lines of, we've done the design. FAA offers a grant the first year, but the airport says you don't have a local share, let's get your office. Well, if you get the 2 years of delays at that point, where you've been offered a grant.
So it's really to protect the process from the airport saying, no, 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 not this time. Not the air, not the government saying, we don't have the money for you.
Right.
Okay. So I guess it's safe to say, if money offered, money would be taken.
In
our case, yes.
Yes.
I think you said it in that yesterday. If they offer a grant, why would we not?
Right, yeah. It's a one-way equation here.
Exactly.
We're not doing it simply because we can't get the money right now.
So, any other questions regarding the design on the grant? Is the board willing to make a determination?
Yeah, I think
I'll put forth a motion that we authorize Gale to proceed with a design only portion of the project.
Okay, I'll second that motion. Do we have any additional discussion on the design only?
Not other than what we just talked about. There were a couple things to note.
Okay. All those in favor of changing the grant application to design only?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed?
Thank you very much. And then under general items, NHDOT is scheduling any of the CIP meetings. Dale is willing to schedule this on the Air Force behalf. Do you agree?
Please do.
Okay. We'll work on it as well. And that brings us to committees, of which we have none outstanding. Old business, Southern New Hampshire University lease update. So that was being driven by Director Keith. I can tell you, since I was there for the signing, that all that work is done. The lease has been signed. There were a couple of post-signing ceremony corrections that had to get made, and I believe those are now complete. That little project is now closed. So, Wes?
How long is the lease and how many renewals is it?
So, this lease is broken up into 5-year terms, and there can be up to 9 renewals.
No,
we don't believe that runs in a foul of FAA.
Yes, please. Kudos to Director Heath. He put in an awful lot of work on this. He very long to see this process. He took the bottom.
Okay. So that brings us to new business. There are no items under there. Upcoming events, Chris has already discussed the Summer Fun Wings and Wheels event on September 14, and the Wings of Freedom Tour coming to Nashua on September 27 through 29. So, with that, public input. Okay, Wes, please.
On the topic of grants and our good friends at the DOT, I would encourage the Airport Authority to work the New Hampshire state governmental process to encourage our friends at DOT to be better advocates for New Hampshire airports. My understanding through the grapevine is that every other state got discretionary funding except New Hampshire, and that was due to the fact that our friends at DOT make an effort. So I would encourage whatever contacts you have at the governor's office, our local reps, to attempt to encourage our friends at DOT to be more proactive.
Steve?
I'd like to express my deep personal gratitude to you for all the extra efforts that you put through. You followed all the way through. I know, speaking of friends, that you had so much to overcome, that the perseverance to carry through. I can tell you right now, this is my personal strength. This is going to be great. The operations, I just talked with the girl yesterday, had 500 operations in one day. And that's going to become the norm, not the exception. And with this new whole short line where it is right now, there can be nothing more than that. We're going to get more and more and more, get more done in less amount of time. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for that. I appreciate the kind words. Any other public input this evening? Nick?
Additional things. First being, I forgot to mention, the pole signs that need to have new panels. I called up Eaton, who is the umbrella company that owns Cross Signs.
Yep.
They only sell to distributors, so I called Graybar in Manchester, and they are preparing a price I have not gotten yet, but I will forward that as soon as possible. And second, both Director Woods and Chris, you gave Danny from our office, the resident engineer who's on the runway, some kudos for the work he did, and I just wanted to say thank you, because he did really hard work for him to do that.
He did a great job for us. Thank you.
Tom?
Yeah.
curiosity, you spoke of design, future design matters. I'm wondering what future requirements are coming down the pike, and what are the hopes and dreams of airport designers, or what might happen, for example, with the old track, now that all the airplanes are cleared off.
Well, funny you should ask that, because not long ago we completed the airport master plan project. And you know, that's a project that looks in into our finest crystal ball 20 years ahead, or up to 20 years ahead, to try to identify what kinds of things we want to do with the airport in order to increase business, increase activity, and improve the airport overall. That said, I believe that the area where the grass tie downs are earmarked for development. For developing corporate hangars, if my memory serves.
And that's all available on our website, Tom.
Oh,
yeah. Yep.
Oh, sure. Yeah, you're welcome to, get a copy of the airport master plan if you wish. That's fine. Wes, something on your
mind? No, I was just going to suggest that you're suffering from insomnia. That would
do it.
Good thing Matt Caron's not here.
Particularly the forecast sections.
Okay, any other public input this evening? Okay. Can I have a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Can I?
Motion to adjourn.
The records comments. No problem. Go ahead, please.
This is very likely my last meeting. My term is up. I've spoken to the mayor's office. I know they're in the process of doing a replacement. It is proper or allowed that I can remain on until a replacement is appointed, but I'm going to be gone. I'll be out of the country for the next two meetings, so I suspect that a replacement will probably be named by that time. I just want to say it's been an absolute thrill for me. A great experience, great people to work with, and I just love every minute of it.
Okay.
Thank you, Bob.
So I'll just go down the line. So, Bob, thank you for your service to the board. It has been a pleasure for me to work with you on airport matters. I've appreciated your insight and your comments and your hard work. So thank you very much. Brian?
Bob, I wish you the best in your future endeavors. And I congratulate Chris and everyone, the teams, getting the runway project done. Finally getting the SRE equipment. I look forward to driving that, checking it out as a truck driver myself. And as someone new to the board, I know there's a lot that can't be said right now about the investigation. I'm curious myself, but a commitment from my standpoint as well, that we take that very seriously, and that the security and the safety of everyone on the airport is critical, I think, to all of us, and something I'll certainly pay attention to as well, and come to a better solution, I guess, strategy.
Bob, I just joined the board back in the heady days of the end of 2016, and we had some changes at that time, and Bob ascended to the mantle of airport manager, and I was told when I originally interviewed for the board, it was, it's just, you attend some meetings, it's no big deal. And then we had early 2017, and I thought, what did I just get myself into? This is nutso. But Bob did an outstanding job, just completely thrown in there, firefighting every day. It was an interesting experience. We all got to know each other really quickly during that period. So, Bob, I appreciate that effort, and that time you put in, it was interesting, but it was great to have you on board at that point. So
first day on the job, we had a crash.
Yeah, it was mental. It's really hard to describe just how crazy it was. And then just a quick note on the whole robbery nuttiness. As many of you know, I grew up across from the airport. It's been part of my whole life. My parents still live there. I learned to fly there. It's part of my world, and it was just crazy when I heard about it as well. So I'll be committed with the group, but just like everybody else, to make sure we get to the bottom of it and make sure it doesn't happen again. So, other than that, I'm good.
Okay. Okay, well, with that, motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, meeting is now adjourned.
Go to Greater.